With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore now, and happy to be joined by Maureen Quinn McGough of a very special project. Let's get it in those terms. It's called the 30 by 30 Initiative. And Maureen, first of all, welcome to MSO.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Now let's get started here in terms of what is the 30 by 30 Initiative and what do you have to do with it?
So the 30 by 30 Initiative is a national effort to improve the representation and experiences of women in policing in this country. Currently, women make up about 12% of police officers and about 3% of police leaders, despite some decades full of research about the distinct sort of value of women officers on the force and the beneficial impact they have not only for the communities they serve, but on their fellow officers as well. It's an initiative that we co-founded with the National Association for Women in Law Enforcement Executives, and it's an effort that's spearheaded by a retired police chief, Yvonne Roman, from Newark, New Jersey, who's been a national advocate for women in policing for decades.
All right. You are at the policing project at NYU School of Law. Explain to me the relation and how this thing got started.
Excellent question. So it actually got started back in 2018 when I was a senior policy advisor at the U.S. Department of Justice, and I was working with Chief Roman on a few different issues around evidence-based policing, and, you know, she came to us, she was very frank, and she said, you know, you say that you are the national research agency in this country and that you care about evidence-based policing, but the representation of women is really low, the experiences of women are extraordinarily difficult in police departments, and no one seems to be doing anything about it. So she really took us to task, and we partnered with her, and we did a national initiative, summit to understand the research on women in policing, to understand sort of why they've historically been underrepresented, to understand the value of women on the force, and then also to understand what we needed to know in order to make a difference in this area. From that point on, Yvonne and I have been working to really grow the initiative, and we're thrilled to say that we launched at the end of last month.
It seems to me there are two major issues that just pop out to me. One is the underrepresentation, and then two is, I forget the terms that were used, but how women are treated on police forces. The underrepresentation, can you tell me a little bit about what the research has found as to why that is? Is it because women don't want to be on police force? Is it because of other reasons? What have you found?
So that's an excellent question, and there's a lot of different factors to consider. Part of what we're doing is we're building research into this initiative to help to answer those questions in a way that we haven't had the rigorous research to answer it previously. But, you know, one of the things that we're really encouraging agencies to do where we think there's going to be a difference is to start to get accurate in recruitment materials. There's a great story from the summit about a small agency in the South that didn't have any aviation assets, not so much a drone, but their recruitment materials showed people hanging out of helicopters with giant guns strapped across their chest.
And,
you know, we have a ton of research out there about, you know, what it is that police officers do every day, and the vast majority of their time is spent talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in an ideal world, it's de-escalating situations, and it's helping people who are in crisis. So we need to start showing those skills and those needs in recruitment materials. And we think if you start to get accurate about what the profession is and what it takes to be successful at the profession, you'll naturally see an increase in diversity.
I got wind of this through the Massachusetts State Police press releases, it really piqued my curiosity because my daughter, I have three daughters, okay, and so to know that you know there should not be limitations for women as there are now in terms of the workforce, whatever it is. So the initiative, what is the goal or what are the plans for outreach in terms of 30 by 30? And I'm you know, guessing for college kids or high school kids, what or is that still in a research process right now?
That's an excellent question. So right now we're really focusing on getting agencies to participate because the reality is, you know, what's going to work for recruitment is going to be different in every jurisdiction. It's going to depend on the relationships that people have with their communities. It's going to depend on their resources. So rather than saying, you know, you need to do this very particular thing in this very particular place to increase your demographic diversity, we're just helping people collect data around who they're currently impacting, you know, suggesting the types of content that they should be considering, But our biggest priority right now is just getting more agencies to the table to make this really public commitment that they're willing to do this work. We launched a couple of weeks ago. We're at 60 agencies right now. We're hoping to get to 250 within the first year. And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed about policing is that really police leaders tend to learn most from other police leaders. So the more that we can get people to the table, the more that we can get people to sort of really highlight the importance of the issue, the more we expect that neighboring jurisdictions would sign on board as well.
Okay, and the Massachusetts State Police did take the pledge and in trying to recruit more. And so how do you recruit police agencies? What's your outreach to them?
Excellent question there, too. So a lot of it, honestly, is direct outreach. And you know, I will say one of the hardest parts about building this initiative has been skepticism from potential funders that police departments are willing to prioritize gender parity. And one of the things that we've been really heartened by in this pledge is just how quickly and how publicly police leaders are willing to make a commitment to doing something about this issue. So a lot of what we've seen is that there's, you know, a few police leaders out there who have prioritized this issue for years and continue to do so, and they've really inspired their fellow chiefs to get on board. I'm thinking of one chief in particular. His name is Ken Clary out of Bellevue, Nebraska, and if it were up to him, I think every agency in Nebraska would be signed up at this point. You know, so it really is at this point word of mouth, and we've also partnered with quite a few of the national police professional organizations to have them sort of help get this out in front of their networks.
Where did 30 by 30 come from? Obviously, you know, by the year 2030, that's popular in a lot of initiatives, at least across Massachusetts. And the 30% of the workforce, I'm guessing it has to do with population in the workforce or something. But the idea of 30 by 30, what is the objective, the goal here that you would find acceptable in terms of progress, in terms of a progressive movement?
Great question. So the specific goal attached to the phrase 30 by 30 is to get to 30% of representation of women in police recruit classes by 2030. But in addition to getting to that benchmark, you know, we're also seeking to improve the representation of women in all ranks, not just in recruit classes, and also ensure that the culture and policies of police departments adequately support the success of diverse officers. So those are really the three major goals of the overall initiative. You know, you noted that the Massachusetts State Police is a signatory. You know, the first step in this initiative is a pledge, and that's what they've signed on to. And that pledge is a series of no and low-cost actions that policing agencies can take to make a difference today, right? Some of it is around data collection. Some of it is around revising recruitment practices. Some of it is around, you know, doing some really deep work to better understand the perspectives of the officers who are currently in the department, try and remove some subjectivity and some of the promotional processes, and then also some really just like basic actions that reflect best practices from other industries, the things that we know make a difference. You know, one of the things that we point to pretty often because it's just so obvious is, you know, making sure that nursing mothers who are returning to work have a place to pump that isn't their cruiser. So just making sure that the workplace is conducive to the success of women officers.
Oh, wow, this is so amazing. When a police force takes the pledge, what resources do they go to? What resources do you steer them to if they want to continue this thing and make it work and learn more? Where do they go?
Excellent question as well. So part of what we're doing through this initiative is we're combing through all of the social science literature out there to find the practices that work and matter. And we're making that available to all of the agencies who participate. We're doing monthly webinar series on some of the sort of higher profile challenges that seem to be shared across the agencies. We're connecting with subject matter experts in the space, both within policing and also within other industries like medicine and technology that used to have the same types of gender parity issues but have made a lot more gains than policing has. And then, you know, we're also creating a community of practice. So one of the things that we're learning and that's really encouraging is that there's a lot of really innovative practices that are happening around the country, but they're sort of happening in isolation. So the idea of bringing everyone together in policing who deeply cares about these issues, who are trying new approaches to do something about these issues.
Well, one of the things that
they can learn from each other.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that one of the things that the initiative seems to be about is that even if this weren't, and I'm going to step on a limb here, that even if this weren't a 30 by 30 women focus, you still have a lot of stuff there that it doesn't matter, male, female, whatever police force it is. You got some pretty good research there that and resources that people can go to. And given the current political climate across the country, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, while our focus is on improving the representation of women and improving the experiences of women, we strongly believe that many of the actions that we're suggesting policing agencies take will result in improvements for everyone who works in the agency. So while our focus is on gender parity, we're also just looking to reform the culture a bit, to be more inclusive and supportive of all types of officers.
That's what I was trying to say, so thanks for clearing me up on that.
Yeah.
Good job. Oh, man. Maureen, is there anything else you want to mention here that maybe that I haven't asked about?
No, I really appreciated the questions and the opportunity to share about what we're up to. If anyone has any questions or if this is there's an agency out there that's interested in participating, we have all of our contact information on the website, which is www.30x30initiative.org, and we would love to hear from you.
All right, that is Maureen Quinn McGough of the Policing Project at NYU School of Law. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.